Once again, we're not on Facebook tonight, but I am going to direct your attention to Acts chapter 2 for just a couple of minutes, then we'll go to prayer and spend some time in prayer, and then we'll come back for our time of discussion. Acts chapter 2, and again, we've really been emphasizing these characteristics of the church in Jerusalem, and I want to just point out the connection between verses 41 and 42. We've just looked at these 12 characteristics, but these 12 characteristics do kind of build on each other, and in some cases, one is necessary for the other to be true as well. I think we see that quite clearly in verses 41 and 42. We said in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the church, 3,000 souls. Said we believe the pattern there is salvation, then baptism, then church membership, the pattern that we desire to follow even today. But salvation, they gladly received the word, they were baptized in obedience, and then they were added to the church. But then in verse 42 it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. For a church to be devoted, to continue steadfastly or to be devoted to doctrine, that church has to be a saved, baptized church. If you have members who are unsaved, how are you going to be devoted to doctrine? An unsaved person can't be devoted to doctrine. An unsaved person doesn't even understand doctrine, the truths of God's word. They've not been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. You know, they are spiritually discerned. If they're not saved, they're not going to be able to understand spiritual things. They can't be devoted to doctrine. So for verse 42 to be continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, verse 41 has to be true. The church membership has to be saved, and I would say even baptized in this sense. Baptism is a command, and if there's somebody who is saved, but they just have chosen to disobey God's command to be baptized, there's a problem. There's a problem in the heart of an individual who has chosen consciously not to be baptized in disobedience. And so how can one who's saved but walking in disobedience because they refuse to be baptized, how can they be devoted to truth? They haven't even taken the first step of obedience in baptism. How can they be devoted to truth? So for a church to be devoted to truth, to doctrine, as verse 42 says we need to be, it needs to be a saved, baptized membership. And then it says they were devoted to fellowship. Fellowship. Once again, for a church to be devoted to fellowship, and I'm talking true biblical fellowship. Certainly, you know, we use that word fellowship loosely, and that's okay, but when we're talking about true biblical fellowship, spiritual fellowship, you can't have fellowship within the church if your church is not a saved, baptized membership. How do you have spiritual fellowship with an unsaved person? How do you have spiritual fellowship with a saved person who consciously refuses to follow in obedience in baptism? How do you have spiritual fellowship? And, you know, I'm reminded, and you don't need to turn to it, but you're familiar with it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? If you've got unsaved church members, what fellowship can an unbeliever have with a believer? What fellowship or communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel or an unbeliever? What part does a believer have with an unbeliever? If your membership is made up of believers and unbelievers, how can you have fellowship? True spiritual biblical fellowship. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. We're the temple of God. How can an unbeliever be part of the temple of God and have that fellowship? So again, for us to have fellowship, to be devoted in fellowship, it has to be saved, baptized membership. And I would say that to have that fellowship that it speaks of here, we need to be devoted to doctrine. We need to be devoted to truth, because that's where our fellowship, that's where we find our fellowship. We find our fellowship around the truth of God's Word. And if we're not devoted to truth, how can we have fellowship? I pointed it out before where Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, sanctify them. That was one of his requests to the Father. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And then in the very next verses is where he prays that we might be one. So obviously there's a connection there to be between being one and being sanctified in the truth. You know, some have just kind of jumped in on that, that they may be one, and they think that that means we need to just do everything we can, even compromise truth in order to fellowship with everyone. Well, that certainly is not what Christ was talking about. Not when he just got finished saying, sanctify them through your truth. In the next breath, he's not going to say, now go ahead and compromise that truth in order to be one. He's not going to say that. We have to be one around the truth. That's where our fellowship needs to be. So to be devoted to doctrine, there needs to be a saved, baptized membership. In order to really be devoted to fellowship, there needs to be saved, baptized church membership, and there needs to be a devotion to that doctrine. And then he goes on and talks about the breaking of bread. We believe that's the Lord's Supper. We refer to it as communion. Fellowship. When we gather around the Lord's table, every single person is on equal ground at the foot of the cross. And we come to the foot of the cross and we remember his sacrifice in our behalf, and there's not one person better than another at the foot of the cross. And so we have that communion, that fellowship around the Lord's table, because we are all on equal ground before God at the foot of the cross. And so there is that fellowship. But again, how can you have that breaking of bread and that communion with unbelievers? They don't understand the sacrifice of Christ. They don't understand his shed blood and his broken body. How can you have communion with unbelievers at the foot of the cross at the Lord's table? And then finally, in verse 42, they were devoted to prayer. I know a lot of people don't like it when I say this, but God does not hear the prayer of an unsaved person. When I say hear, I mean he doesn't respond to the prayer of an unsaved person. He does not answer the prayer of an unsaved person. Now, he'll answer the prayer of an unsaved person who comes to him for salvation. That prayer he'll hear, that prayer he'll respond to, but he's not going to respond to and answer the prayer of one who is unsaved, and he's not going to respond to the prayer of a saved person who's regarding iniquity in his heart. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And one who consciously chooses to not be obedient in baptism is regarding iniquity in his heart. And so to be devoted in prayer, it has to be a saved, baptized church membership. Verse 42 to be true, verse 41 needs to be followed. We're not going to have steadfastness in doctrine. We're not going to have that steadfastness in fellowship, in that breaking of bread, and in prayer. We're not going to be devoted to it if it's not saved, baptized church membership. And so I just wanted to emphasize that for just a few minutes as we get started this evening and as we open it up for discussion. But before we do that, let's go to a time of prayer.